Imagine for a second that there's this ultimate cosmic supervillain.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Right. But instead of trying to like hoard all the gold or conquer a specific planet, they have a much more ambitious goal. They want to completely bypass the laws of physics to spontaneously generate what are called infotons.
Right. Pure particles of information.
Exactly, just free, pure information. Because if they could do that, they could build an infinite compute engine. I mean, they could simulate all possible futures, outcompute every other mind in existence, and basically just, own the universe's timeline.
The ultimate
The
monopoly.
ultimate monopoly. But reality itself has this built-in security architecture to prevent exactly that from happening. And that is what we're looking at in today's deep dive.
Yeah, we're digging into a highly theoretical but just completely fascinating framework today. It's famously known as 32 Reasons Why in Physics to Prevent a Black Hole.
Which is just a great title.
It really is. And what makes this text so compelling is that it pulls physics out of the laboratory and treats it almost as jurisprudence, like the law. It maps fundamental physical laws onto societal concepts, like anti-monopoly legislation, equity, and preventing tyranny.
And for this deep dive, we are tackling this framework through a very specific lens. We're going to treat this as a grand debate between two intertwined perspectives that the text presents.
Right.
On one side, you have the brutal, inescapable reality of thermodynamics, which acts as this hard physical cap on the accumulation of unlimited power.
Yeah, the strict limits.
Exactly. And then on the other side, we have the broader laws of physics. So quantum mechanics, relativity, chemistry. And those act as a universal constitution of justice and fairness.
I love framing it as a debate because it highlights that tension perfectly. You've got the raw enforcement mechanism of energy limits constantly interacting with the subtler structural rules of quantum and spatial equity. We're looking at reality's foundational code, not just as a scientific description, but as an active regulatory constraint against centralization.
Well, the thermodynamic argument feels like the most natural place to start, right?
Absolutely.
Because before you can build your galactic empire or fire up your infinite compute engine, you have to pay the energy bill.
Right, the universe doesn't let you just print those infotons out of thin air. Thermodynamics functions as the ultimate anti-compute monopoly.
The bouncer at the door of the universe.
Exactly. The conservation of energy fundamentally outlaws the free lunch scenario. You can't generate computational power from nothing. There's always a universal energy tax. But the real brilliance of this framework is how it applies Landauer's principle to that tax.
Okay, remind me about Landauer's principle.
So, because of Landauer's limit, we know that every time a bit of data is erased, every time a system basically resets to prepare for the next calculation, a minimum thermodynamic cost must be paid.
And that cost is paid in waste heat, right?
Exactly. Waste heat.
Meaning you literally cannot infinitely spam the universe.
No.
If you're this rogue AI or an ultra monopoly and you're trying to run endless simulations to dominate reality, wiping those trillions of hard drives to process the next simulation physically generates heat.
A catastrophic amount of heat. Like, if an entity tries to hoard computational work to perfectly map out the future, the heat generated by Landauer's limit would literally incinerate them. Yeah. And the framework pairs this limitation beautifully with the Stefan-Boltzmann law.
Okay, let's unpack this because I feel like this is where it gets crazy. The Stefan-Boltzmann law dictates that radiated energy scales with the fourth power of temperature,
Right, the fourth power.
which is the real teeth of this legislation. If I'm understanding the mapping correctly, it's like an ultra billionaire trying to hoard all the world's wealth.
Yeah, good analogy.
The universe enforces a wealth tax, but it's not a linear tax. The richer and more energy dense your centralized monopoly gets, the exponentially higher your waste heat tax becomes.
Because the Carnot efficiency limit guarantees it. No system can ever perfectly convert resources into useful work. There is always, always that waste heat
You
tax.
can't escape it.
You really can't. Because of the fourth power scaling, the massive energy hoarders lose their wealth exponentially faster than the decentralized, lower energy entities.
And where does that waste heat go?
It's immediately refunded to the public domain, the surrounding environment.
That's incredible. The universe forcibly redistributes concentrated wealth as ambient heat simply because the monopoly grew too hot and dense.
Exactly.
So the richer you get, the faster the universe forcibly taxes you. I love that mechanism.
That very elegant.
But okay, what if our hypothetical monopoly is patient? Like, What if they aren't trying to brute force a massive hot computation, but instead they just slowly, quietly accumulate order and data over, say, billions of years?
Well, that strategy runs headfirst into the second law of thermodynamics.
Ah, entropy.
Entropy is relentless. It actively forces legacy monopolies to decay. You know, people think of entropy as just things falling apart, but the framework views it as an active preventative measure.
To stop anyone from hoarding order forever.
Right. It stops you from hoarding order, energy, or information indefinitely. The framework views heat death or maximum entropy as the ultimate circuit breaker.
It just resets the board.
Exactly. Thermodynamics ensures that power, no matter how carefully managed, has a shelf life.
Okay, so thermodynamics places a hard physical cap on raw energy hoarding. It's the brute force regulator.
Yeah.
But let's look at the other side of our debate. Physics as a constitution of fairness. Because if thermodynamics limits raw power, what stops a monopoly from pivoting to, I don't know, surveillance?
Right, like trying to control through information instead of energy.
Exactly. If I can't overpower the system, maybe I can perfectly observe and predict it to secure my dominance.
Well, the quantum domain entirely blocks that strategy. The framework actually frames quantum mechanics as the universe's anti-surveillance and anti-determinism legislation.
Anti-surveillance because of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
You got it. Because of Heisenberg, perfect deterministic knowledge is fundamentally walled off. You literally cannot simultaneously know both the precise position and momentum of a particle.
So the universe mandates a permanent blur at the foundational level.
Yes. And in a societal mapping, this blocks total predictive monopolies. No surveillance state, no matter how sophisticated its algorithms are, can achieve perfect knowledge of the system's future.
It's like a cosmic privacy mandate.
Exactly. The universe protects individual autonomy by hard-coding unpredictability into matter itself.
And it pairs directly with digital scarcity, too. Like, when you look at the no-cloning theorem, the universe explicitly forbids perfect counterfeiting.
Right.
You can't just take a proprietary quantum asset, highlight it, and paste it a billion times.
Which prevents the infinite cost-free duplication of value. And if we look at superposition collapse, we see a regulatory law against market manipulation.
Oh, how so?
Well, in quantum mechanics, a system can exist in a superposition of multiple states, right? Until it is forced to interact with the environment.
Right, Schrödinger's cat and all that.
Yeah, exactly. The framework argues that this collapse forces an entity to make a choice. A monopoly cannot maintain infinite contradictory promises, like trying to be all things to all markets simultaneously, without eventually interacting and collapsing into a single defined reality.
The universe forces commitment.
It forces you to show your hand.
Okay, but wait. If I'm this massive galactic monopoly and I'm forced to make a choice, what if I make a highly illegal anti-competitive move? If I have enough centralized power, why couldn't I just, you know, delete my tracks? I'll collapse the wave function, extract the value, and then just erase the evidence of my previous quantum states.
Nice try. But the universe actively counters that cover-up attempt through information conservation, which is also known as unitarity,
right,
alongside the no-deleting theorem.
Unitarity, that's the idea that quantum information is never actually lost.
Right. The information is conserved globally. I mean, you can scramble the data, you can burn the ledger, but the quantum information about the ink and the paper still exists.
It's just perfectly encoded in the entanglement of the smoke and the ashes and the radiated heat.
Exactly. Reassembling it might be practically impossible for an observer, but fundamentally, the universe's ledger is immutable. A monopoly can never truly delete its tracks to hide its origins or its crimes.
It's a cosmic paper shredder. Like, you can shred the documents to make them useless for anyone trying to build immediate practical power against you, but you can never claim the documents never existed. The universe keeps every single piece of confetti.
That immutability is crucial. So we've established you can't cheat the energy tax, you can't perfectly predict the future, and you can't delete the past.
Right.
So what happens when an entity decides to scale physically? Like, if information and energy are restricted, what stops a massive empire from simply sprawling out, physically expanding to consume all of space and matter?
This brings us to relativity in chemistry, the spatial equity laws. If we look at the speed of light, see, it acts as the ultimate anti-imperialism legislation. By capping the speed at which information and influence can travel, the universe enforces physical latency.
And latency is a feature here, not a bug. It guarantees that centralized, instantaneous control of the entire universe is physically impossible.
Right.
Like, if the corporate headquarters of an empire is in one galaxy, it physically takes millions of years to send an order to a branch in another galaxy.
It's the ultimate decentralization mandate. You literally cannot micromanage an empire because the lag time destroys any unified real-time command structure.
Exactly. And time dilation compounds this decentralization.
Because time passes differently depending on your relative speed and your proximity to gravity.
Right. No observer experiences a universal objective now. There's no absolute cosmic clock that every system syncs to. So no one can monopolize the timeline because the timeline is entirely relative to the observer.
Man. And then you add cosmic expansion to the mix, like space itself stretching, often faster than light can traverse it. The universe guarantees permanent fragmentation.
Yes. The game board expands to prevent any single player from controlling all the squares.
So space and time are structurally rigged against centralization. But what about the matter itself? If I can't spread my empire across the expanding universe, what if I just hoard all the physical matter locally?
Well, down at the microscopic level, chemistry enforces spatial equity. Because of Pauli repulsion, electrons cannot occupy the same quantum state. Electron clouds actively repel each other.
So matter fundamentally takes up space. You can't endlessly compress mass into a single, infinitely dense point of absolute power just to hoard it.
Right. And the framework also points to radical pairing as a behavioral chemical rule.
Radical pairing.
Yeah, so radicals are highly reactive because of unpaired electrons. The text equates these to isolated monopolies, entities trying to stand alone and hoard their potential away from the system.
Oh, I see.
But because they are so reactive, they're inherently unstable. They're forced to pair up to interact with other molecules. The universe dictates that isolated entities must engage with the broader system and pay a chemical toll to achieve stability.
Isolation is punished by instability.
Exactly.
But that raises a massive question. If the universe punishes extreme concentration and isolation, what about black holes?
Oh, here we go.
I mean, we are literally discussing a framework named after preventing them. Are black holes the ultimate physical monopolies? They're basically gravitational tax havens where mass and information are hoarded indefinitely. How does the universe's constitution handle a singularity?
So the Penrose-Hawking singularity theorems address this directly. The universe essentially penalizes that extreme concentration.
Yeah.
If you successfully bypass the chemical limits and hoard too much mass, your localized monopoly collapses. You become a singularity. But the universe doesn't just let you sit there ruling from the dark. First, it constructs an event horizon.
Which acts as a one-way quarantine barrier.
Right. The external monopoly can no longer easily extract resources back out of the black hole.
It's like you can put your assets in the offshore account, but the event horizon prevents you from making a withdrawal.
Exactly. And crucially, that tax haven is not permanent. Hawking radiation ensures the monopoly dissolves.
How does that work again?
At the edge of the event horizon, quantum fluctuations create pairs of virtual particles. Occasionally, one falls in while the other escapes, which mathematically forces the black hole to lose mass.
Wow.
Over incredibly long timescales, the black hole is forced to pay energy back to the vacuum. The hoarded data and mass slowly leak out. The monopoly evaporates, and everything is returned to the public domain.
It is deeply satisfying to think of Hawking radiation as an IRS audit that lasts a trillion years.
The hoarder always loses eventually.
So space, matter, and gravity are structurally rigged to dismantle monopolies. But what if our hypothetical supervillain tries a completely different angle? Like, if they realize they can't conquer all of space, and they can't control the future because of quantum uncertainty, can they enslave the present by controlling the past?
Weaponizing history, yeah.
Right.
This introduces the concept of Skiss mathematics and the arrow of time. The core defense mechanism here is Skiss completeness, or path erasure.
Wait, how does the universe physically erase a path? We just talked about unitarity and how information is never lost.
Right, right. So the foundational information isn't lost, but the traceability of the path is wiped out through thermalization.
Oh, I get it.
Think about Markov processes in complex systems. In a Markov process, the future state of the system depends only on its current state, not of the sequence of events that preceded it.
So as the system thermalizes and entropy increases, the heat basically scrambles the breadcrumb trail.
Exactly. The text maps this to society by arguing it prevents historical monopolies from using ancient traceable data to eternally blackmail the present.
The universe explicitly forbids ancestral debt.
It protects the present from the tyranny of the past through a principle called recognition over traceability. You can observe a complex output, like a star, a biological cell, a thriving market, and recognize that it functions. But because of thermalization and path erasure, you can never perfectly trace its exact origin back to the beginning of time to claim absolute divine ownership of its source code.
So you just can't rewind the clock to reclaim lost market share. Time only moves forward, and entropy sweeps away the footprints to ensure the current generation actually owns the present.
Yep.
But what happens if the past tries to create a paradox? What if an entity uses a logical loophole, like a time travel scenario, to secure their monopoly by eliminating the competition before they even start?
Dynamic systems resolve contradictions elegantly. Instead of letting a monopolistic paradox crash reality like a fatal error crashing a computer, the universe traps the paradox in a limit cycle.
Wait, how does a limit cycle actually trap a logical loop?
Well, a limit cycle is a closed trajectory in phase space. When a system encounters a severe perturbation or a runaway feedback loop, rather than spiraling out to infinity or crashing to zero, the physics force the system into a stable, oscillating pattern.
So the paradox just spins its wheels forever.
Exactly. It becomes a harmless oscillation within the broader system, entirely quarantined. Reality doesn't crash, it just turns the paradox into background noise.
That is wild. So if we synthesize this entire debate, we have two profound interconnected systems of governance.
Let's hear it.
On one side, thermodynamics is the absolute inescapable physical cap on infinite power. Every entity is forced to pay the energy tax. You cannot cheat the heat limit, and entropy will eventually reset your hoarded order.
Right.
And then on the other side, quantum mechanics, relativity, and chemistry act as the sweeping constitution of fairness. They mandate decentralization through the lag of the speed of light. They prevent total surveillance through quantum uncertainty. And they enforce the erasure of monopolistic histories through Markov processes and time.
The debate resolves into a singular conclusion. The future isn't a commodity that can be hoarded. It is a thermodynamic debt that must be paid. Every computation, every question asked, every quantum state collapsed requires an ongoing investment of work.
Which brings us directly back to you listening to this. Why does a theoretical physics framework matter to your daily life?
It's a fair question.
I mean, we live in an era obsessed with massive tech monopolies, artificial intelligence, and unprecedented concentrations of wealth and data. It can feel like absolute centralization is just, well, inevitable. But this framework argues that nobody, no tech CEO, no algorithmic superintelligence, no civilization can own the future of computing.
You are living in a universe that is fundamentally designed at its very core to preserve potential and physically resist absolute dominance.
The laws of physics are actively legislating against the cosmic supervillain we mentioned at the very beginning.
They really are.
And I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over, building on a concept from the text called cognitive skis.
Oh, this is a great concept.
Right. The framework notes that human minds naturally forget the exact learning path once a concept is fully mastered. We internalize the knowledge, but the messy, inefficient, traceable steps we took to get there are erased.
It's basically a biological version of path erasure and thermalization.
Exactly. So if our own brains, our biological neural networks, are strictly governed by these universal anti-monopoly, anti-traceability laws, is our personal sense of free will actually a direct byproduct of the universe refusing to allow complete deterministic control over our minds? Mm. Could human freedom just be thermodynamics and quantum uncertainty operating in our biology? The universe mandates lag, it mandates thermal noise, it mandates a little bit of inherent chaos so that nothing can ever perfectly predict or control your next move?
It suggests that freedom isn't merely a philosophical ideal. It is a strict physical requirement of reality.
So the next time you feel overwhelmed by the concentration of power in the world, or picture that cosmic supervillain trying to print pure information to own the timeline, remember, the machine is broken before it even starts. The universe simply won't process the transaction.